We're gonna skip the break at the bottom bottom of this hour. We're gonna go straight. I'm gonna go straight through on this. There's a lot to get to. I want to elucidate the point and really stamp the point more about this idea of your rights and morality and religion, and that there was a religion in America, and that was taught. It was even taught in schools. This concept that, well, separates the church and state, that religion should not be taught in school. This is a modern invention. If you want proof, logically, as you go back, the McGuffey Reader in the late 1800s, early 1900s. McGuffey Reader had Bible stories in it. It's all about Bible stories and teaching people how to read. You want even further, in the 30s, my grandfather says, you know, Danny, what makes America unique? Well, in America, our rights come from God, not man, and man can't take them away. And then he told me, and they taught me that in school. This is what I'm telling you. The founders understood that these concepts, these ideas must go forward, morality and religious ideas, and they go hand in hand. Don't believe me? All right, let's see what George Washington says. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Why do you think in the First Amendment it mentions no establishment clauses of religion, that the government can't restrict religion at all? That's why when Beto wanted to tax religions if they didn't do what the government wanted them to. This is, you talk about tyranny. Whoa. And our founders, that's why they put that in there. The churches weren't to be taxed. They weren't to be manipulated at all. They weren't to be controlled at all, because religions must be free. It was an essential institution for freedom. I'll continue with this quote. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail to the exclusion of religious principle. Benjamin Franklin, here is my creed. I believe in one God. Again, he's not a religious person. This is Benjamin Franklin. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children, and that the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion. In the 1850s, teachers, they were talking about religion being taught in school, and they made a particular point. No religious reading, instruction, or exercise shall be prescribed or practiced inconsistent with the tenets of any religious sect or denomination. Of course, they meant Christian. And what did they mean? What were the five? This is from Cleon Skousen's speech they made. The five fundamental points to be taught in the schools. These were the five fundamental points to be taught in the schools. That public education, you know, you hear these quotes, people for public education, they throw around about Jefferson and Adams about how important public education is. Yeah. So they taught our children morality and religion, and they taught them classical education, and that they studied Greek mythology, and they studied, philosophers and ideas, and all these concepts went in their head, and it refined reason, and through reason they were able to discover truth, and through truth they were able to ascend back to their creator, back to the law of nature. It was all one continuous circle. The laws of nature, the laws of their creator, the laws of nature's God, these are concepts. People say, oh, well, that means they were a deist. Come on. Do some research. Quit being so lazy. Are you for real? These words were, John Locke was the foremost philosopher in the 1600s. Our founding fathers adored John Locke. And we're going to have a very important quote from him here in a little bit. But these are the words that, you know, he would use nature's God as philosophy, as very, very neutral terms. It's kind of like when I say, you know, these aren't religious concepts. This is universal. That's kind of the same thing they're saying. Anyway, the five points of religion that they wanted taught in schools. Why did they want it taught in schools? Because religion is connected to morality. Morality is connected to freedom. Liberty and virtue go together. You cannot have one without the other, or the other without one. Because if you don't have liberty and the freedom, and if it's not guided by virtue, then the liberty becomes another form of tyranny. It becomes mob rule. If you don't have the freedom to exercise virtue and choice and the pursuit of truth and the understanding of truth, then your reason gets twisted, and your virtue and your choices gets twisted. It's like, okay, if this cop who arrested me, Okay, I'm going to get, again, go to this example. So reason would say, well, it's probably best just to do what they say because he's not giving me liberty. So if I don't have proper liberty to live my life and make my choices, now my reason becomes, wow, I don't want to get arrested. Wow, I shouldn't be arrested. I better just do what he says. It's better for peace and for everything. And this isn't that bad of a burden on me to be able to travel, whatever. So I should take the license. So I should listen to them. So I should fall at their feet. So I should succumb and bow to my natural God-given rights to these people, because then that's reasonable and that's that makes sense and that makes freedom for everybody. Do you see how they you can't have one without the other. And when one starts to get twisted, then the other gets twisted. Anyway, these are the 5 points. 1, recognition and worship of a creator who made all things. 2, that the creator has revealed a moral code of behavior for happy living which distinguishes right from wrong. Whew, this is powerful. That the creator holds mankind responsible for the way they treat each other. That all mankind live beyond this life. That in the next life, mankind are judged for their conduct in this one. Do you understand why Benedict Arnold's platoon stopped at a cemetery and dug up a dead preacher who'd been dead for 6-7 years and took his collar off and cut it in little pieces because they just wanted a little taste. They wanted that banner. They wanted that connection. They had a fervor in their life. They were about to go fight to the death. And what were they going to fight for? Those 5 things that I just told you. Morality, the right and wrong. We are connected to God. We are responsible to each other. God is intimately concerned about us. We will be judged after this life. And we can't then look at somebody else and take away their rights and their virtue and their freedom and their liberty and not, and be respecting God at the same time. And I mean, can you imagine going to fight the greatest army in the world with, you know, didn't have shoes, bleeding in the snow, whatever. Oh boy, I need a little encouragement. And you can just imagine what was said at that. You know, so do you remember what George said? Do you remember what he said? You know, what are we fighting for? What is it that we're living for? We're going to cut up his collar and we're going to put it on every one of us. So we're going to go forward and all of earth can combine against us, but we cannot be stopped because God is with us. Do you get that? What happened in that concept that flew around the revolutionary colonies and what they believed and what they died for and what they lived for. Okay, this is when we look at the government, we look in this situation. I'm using this cop because it's such a personal and I've told this story. This guy thought, well, he's doing right. He's protecting the law. He's doing the law. Are you kidding me? He is so far. He is a tyrant. He is disgusting. He is a pig. He is not offending me. He is offending God Almighty. And if you had morality in you, and you're listening, then you would look at this and see, I'm arrested. I am arrested because did I hurt somebody? Because he didn't think I had a valid license because he couldn't find me in the system? Then if you had morality, if you had virtue, if you had respect for God, you would look at that and you would be indignant also. Do you get it? That is what our founding fathers did. Going forward, some more quotes. I got to find these things. Maybe Todd will cue the Jeopardy music here. Hamilton, in his pamphlet, The Farmer Refuted of 1775, right before the Revolution, Alexander Hamilton attributed to the law of nature the following characteristics. It is an eternal and immutable law. Okay, there's a concept. The reason I'm bringing this up, this is so important. As history went on, people like Dewey, especially in the 20th century, it became a temporal transition, like evolution. Again, I told you about the evolution and how deadly that was, not only about God, but now they applied that to law, they applied it to history. The idea of history that we look back on the 1700s and the Declaration of Independence may have been fine and well for them, but that doesn't mean it's fine and well for the 21st century. Isn't that the arguments you hear? This is not a document for the 21st century. This is not a concept. These are old, white, outdated, ignorant slave owners. They don't know anything about it. We shouldn't listen to them. We need a law for the new world order. We need a new world order with a new understanding. And as we look to the modern age and the transhumanism and the ascension, we are going to ascend in this way, right? Isn't that what they say? This is a damnable, damnable lie. This is what our founding fathers believed, Hamilton. The law of nature, the following characteristics. One, it is an eternal and immutable law. It is indispensably obligatory upon all mankind prior to any human institution whatever. And it is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. The founding fathers studied Greek mythology. They studied philosophers. They studied the Bible. They listened to George Whitefield. They talked among each other. They spent time with each other. They spent time introspecting their self, like Jefferson, Adams. These are the greatest minds this country has ever ever seen, because they, through the grasp of history, through the lens that they had, through the progenitor and the founding fathers that they look back to, and the people that inspired them, they were able to push humanity forward to see that with this and through this, in the very breath of life that God had given them, that there is an immutable, unchangeable law. And that the basis of our government is based on this law. Upon this law depend the natural rights of mankind. The supreme being gave existence to man. Again, this is founding father. The supreme being gave existence to man. I guess they were just deists. I guess they just didn't care. They're agnostic. They didn't care anything about God, right? It didn't matter to them. All virtue, morality, religion didn't mean anything to these people, right? Together with the means of preserving and beatifying that existence. What does beatify mean? To make happy, to make sacred, to give volition to. That the means of preserving and giving existence and happiness to our existence are these natural laws. He endowed him, meaning he, meaning God, endowed him with rational faculties by the help of which to discern and pursue such things as were consistent with his duty and his interest. What's my duty? What's my highest duty? My highest duty is to God. And if my highest duty is to God, then how I treat my fellow man becomes, you know, it's kind of like 1A, 1 and 1A. They're like almost the same, right? Because God's creation, God's children. So how I treat, you know, think about your children, how somebody treats your children, then you become real concerned about that, right? So your duty is into each other. Your duty is to be indignant about my arrest, just like I would be indignant about your arrest, just like I'm indignant about the lady in Colorado who was strapped to a chair and tased by the cop yesterday's story. Right? We should be indignant. We should be, you know, you take one incident and that's okay, but this is a pattern. John Whitehead, 80,000 SWAT teams a year go in America. This is a pattern. They tax us. They license us. They restrict us. Going back to the Stamp Act, they couldn't, they had to buy pickaxes from Britain. Everything was taxed. Towards the end, they couldn't even, the gunsmiths couldn't get the steel, the iron and the copper, or iron and steel to make the guns. They weren't allowed to make the guns. You see, that's licensing everything. It's another form of law. It's another pulling us away from this republic, pulling us from this natural law. I can say without hesitancy, looking back through the veil of history, looking back through the lens of history, looking back through our founding fathers, without hesitation, the United States corporate government is sin. It is disgusting. It is satanic. It is Babylon. And it is trying to pull every one of us into it to give our immutable law of nature of freedom, to give that liberty over them in destruction of virtue. Because you can't have one without the other. That's why do you think they tried situational morality? Situational history. Situational history. So they have situational morality. That's why the teachers, they teach situational history also. That these change. Our founding fathers, George Whitefield, put their foot down and say there are absolutes in this world. And one of them is virtue and liberty. Continue with the quote here. with his duty and interest, and invested him, meaning God, invested him, or our Creator, with an inviolable right to personal liberty and personal safety. Personal. Hence, in a state of nature, no man had any moral power to deprive another of his life, limbs, property, or liberty, nor the least authority to command or exact obedience from him, except that which arose from the ties of consanguinity. Another crazy word. I had to look some of these words up. And these people, you think they were dumb? They think they were ignorant? Come on. If one of these people spoke in a college here, the half the student body couldn't even understand them because they're so eloquent. They're so connected to history. They're so connected to the philosophers of the age and pulling from all this knowledge and all this compound understanding that mankind has brought. They couldn't even understand them. Consanguinity means it came from your ancestors. Ties, it came from the ties that bind us together from our ancestors. What is the tie that binds us with all our ancestors? What is the common bond? The common bond is that we're all children of God, that we're all endowed with these rights. And given freedom and given the ability to have virtue. We're given liberty. We're given the ability to choose virtue so that morality must be upheld by the law, because morality protects freedom and liberty. And liberty is the jewel of everything that we want. Why? I'm going to get into that. Very important concept. You will not hear this in school. The most important concept of really, overarching, this is very important, but the most important concept of the revolution is, we'll get to this by quotes by Jefferson and by John Locke and understanding happiness. Let me go to another page here. I'm juggling books here, so I apologize. This is John Adams. Just as the Stamp Act crisis was beginning in 1765, John Dickinson, one of the foremost respected lawyers and writers in the American colonies, claimed that the liberties of men are, quote, founded on the acknowledged rights of human nature. They're above. What did my grandfather tell me? That our rights come from God, not man, and man can't take them. What did the founding fathers say? That our rights supersede any man-made institution. They come with human nature. Do you get that? My grandfather in the 30s went to school. And he was that 160, 70 years after the Declaration of Independence? They still taught that in school. Even the Federal Reserve System was already brought in. It was still that string, the good people. It hadn't been down all to the local elementary school that my grandfather in New Jersey, of all places, went to. You know, that bastion of freedom in biblical basis, New Jersey. He still was taught that. So this concept, this idea that this is not part of our history, this is a damnable lie. My grandfather in the 30s, as a small boy, was taught that our rights come from God. The same thing I've been telling you, the founding fathers in the public schools wanted these 5 points to be taught. A religion was taught. Why? Because religion and morality are inseparably connected. Morality holds virtue. If you cannot have virtue, you cannot have liberty. The following year, John Adams located the source of man's rights in the frame of human nature. My God, is this quote. I mean, almost, when I first read this, it brought tears to my eyes. That the source of man's rights, quote, John Adams, are in the frame of human nature. They are inside you and in the constitution of the intellectual and moral world, that the great charter of man's rights may be read in the human frame. It was a charter sealed with the breath of life. You don't think these people understood the Bible and believe the Bible? And a statement like that, sealed when God put his lips to man and breathed the breath of life in him. So who did this cop offend? Did he offend my family that we were on the way to the zoo? Do you see all these people running SWAT teams and these general warrants and these absence of law and taking us into these admiral courts? Who are they offending? The God of the universe, ladies and gentlemen. This is what our founders believe. Look, the revolutionaries, they live with less tyranny than we do. They live with less tyranny than we do. Likewise, Thomas Jefferson identified man's rights with, quote, the hand of nature. And elsewhere he said they were founded in our natural wants, our desires. God gave us the desire for what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He gave us that's our want. That's what we want. We naturally are born, and if we are raised halfway decent and normal and not have some tragedy occur in our life or whatever, that's what we want. Who put it there? Who can govern it? Government certainly cannot govern it. Who is the only person that can judge it and govern it? God. What is government's duty? Government's duty is therefore then to protect that ability, to protect those natural desires, to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The concept and the idea that you can propel yourself and reach out and better your life and better your family's life, and discover truths for you, discover ideas for you that mean something to you. It was the next step in the dream, in the pipe dream of the pilgrims who came over that were in search of the New Jerusalem, of Zion, of Utopia. It's a hidden secret in history. You go back and read their writings. Why are we going across there? What are we going to do? We are going to establish the New Jerusalem. When we land, William Bradford gets out. What are we doing? We are dedicating this land to Jehovah. This land is dedicated to God Almighty. We will establish the New Jerusalem through all the machinations, through all the mistakes, through all the Salem witch trials, through all the whatever. What is the overarching? We are going to serve God. We are going to overcome the fall. We are going to, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are going to propel ourselves back and overcome the fall and form the New Jerusalem.
Who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We're coming back from the break. We were supposed to cut out the break. We had a little technical difficulties. We're going right back. Please support us at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Let's get right back to this. The Great Charter of Man's Rights may be read in the human frame. It was a charter sealed with the breath of life. To this right, every man is and must be entitled. Why is it a must? Why? Because creation doesn't work unless it is. Because God endowed it that way, and it destroys itself unless it is. This is not my thinking. This is what the founding fathers thought about. Tyranny leads to destruction. And all of creation, all of nature resonates with the hum of virtue and liberty. It is annexed as an inseparable appendage to our existence, our very existence. And although the English law hath secured it in the English subject, yet a Frenchman or Turk are as much entitled to it by the law of nature. As Thomas Jefferson said, the Declaration of Independence is the charter of the rights of all mankind. The greatest political document which has ever been in recorded history is July 4th, 1776, mostly by the hand of Thomas Jefferson. To have anybody from some so-called educational system to stand up and ridicule that man, I don't care if he ran naked every full moon down Main Street, is asinine. It is bordering on treasonous. It is stupid. It is ridiculous. It is offensive, and I hope you feel that way. He penned the thoughts and the ideas and the concept of a whole nation, of a whole movement, of a miracle. You think it's a miracle, Daniel in the lion's den? You think it's a miracle the Israelites went through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then the Pharaoh followed, and the sea caved in on them, and all their badges and their gold, and you could say their red coats, you know, you can allude to that. You could say everything that they had in their horses and their chariots and all of man's will and the power and the control and the subduing of tyranny of the mind, the right, and the idea, the liberty of man represented in those horses and those chariots. They were smashed to bits and drowned in the sea, never to be heard from again. Do you think it is any less of a miracle when Thomas Jefferson, speaking and acting on behalf of every person who crossed that ocean in the hope of a better life, in the conviction of the God's will for them, do you think it was any less of a miracle when he wrote that we hold these truths to be self-evident and everything that followed there? Do you think it was any less of a miracle? You do not understand the Bible, and you do not understand this country. That's why I've said many times, and petty people, I went to speak at a youth, a young religious group, and I said, this is just as important as most of the Bible, this part of the Declaration of Independence. It should be folded up and put in your Bible and put right there because it supports and protects everything that's in there. And without the Declaration of Independence, you probably wouldn't even have a Bible. Look in China. Well, you know how that got me? They about wanted to run me out of a rail, half of them out of the office there, or out of the auditorium. That's what it got me. That's our religious future. That's our young people and what they think about God and religion and ideas. That's why I lambaste these churches, because there's no spiritual power. There's no spiritual understanding in them. That's why Pastor Wright, America's pastor, that's why I love him. I love him. Me and him are brothers. And he's black near as the ace of spades. And I'm white and cream or whatever color I am or whatever haze. He's my brother. That's my brother. Because he will stand and say this. Let me continue. found it in our natural one. Let me go on to another. We're running out. I don't want to miss this most important thing. The most curious part, the most unique part of the Declaration of Independence is the phrase pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And people say, oh, well, that just means property. It means much more. And of course, yes, it does mean property and the ability to have property and what have you, but it means so much more. Where is the quote I am looking for here? Now I do need the Jeopardy music. No, if I can't find this, I'm going to be very upset. Where is the page number? Oh my gosh. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Here it is. On a deeper philosophical level, it seemed clear that Jefferson borrowed the phrase from John Locke's 1690, an essay concerning human understanding, where the Englishman used it repeatedly. In America, before Thomas Jefferson, there's almost no existence or even variation of the term pursuit of happiness. He was obsessed with John Locke. Jefferson was. Here's what John Locke says. As therefore the highest perfection of intellectual nature lies in a careful and constant pursuit of true and solid happiness. Okay, now some people are saying, well, your object is not to pursue happiness, it's to pursue truth. He went further. I mean, these people, their minds and their what they accomplished and what they laid forth for you, for us. Yes, okay, our main pursuit is truth, is love, is God. What did they reflect back and come from different positions and all come to the same circle and come to the point of creation? What is it that they said? The truth is that they discovered, that they believed, the truth is that God gave us all this, everything we see, the very breath of life in our human frame, in our nature, the universe resonates to, our cells resonates to, our heart pumps to it. To what? To the desire, the ability, and the mandate to be happy. Our whole purpose is to be happy. I'll continue. So the care of ourselves, that we mistake not imaginary for real happiness. You know, that's where people, yeah, there's imaginary. Yeah, people, they get drunk and whatever. Though, boy, I was happy. That's not real happiness. Is the necessary foundation of our liberty. Our liberty is given to us for what? Why did God, if liberty is outside of man, has nothing to do with governments, nothing. It's given in the very breath of life. Then what is the purpose of that liberty? The purpose of this liberty, and you look at the fall, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and those two things were put forth, and we made choices, and we came here, we descended, we fell, and so that we can then choose liberty to find our true happiness, so that we can return to Eden, so that we can overcome through our Savior, that we can return back to our Supreme Being, that somebody through reason, do you understand? This idea of reason, this idea of testing, this idea what's the word? Experimentation. This life, the whole purpose of this life is so that you have the ability to pursue this happiness. Your liberty is given to you so that you can choose happiness. Now, if you want to choose something else, it leads to destruction. The stronger ties we have to an unalterable pursuit of happiness in general, which is our greatest good. I hear this term shoved down our throats all the time by socialists, the greater good. We must sacrifice for the great. Daniel Esselin even talks about it. You talk about China, the greater good for China, the greater good for Russia, whatever. These are different concepts. Why is America different? There is no place. What did I say the biggest story in the world is? What is the biggest story in the world every day for the last so many years and for the next so many years coming forward in the world? Nothing even comes close or compares unless the good Lord himself came down through yonder heavens and it was the second coming. This is the biggest story. Will we enforce the Declaration of Independence or will we succumb to the siren song of globalism? The greater good. and which as such our desires always follow. The more are we free from any necessary determination of our will to any particular action. Our greatest good, the greatest good that can be done by a government in the world, in the institution, in our society, in public, is that everybody has the ability to use their virtue and exercise their liberty to pursue happiness. This is the revolutionary mindset. And whether they say it directly, like Adams, like Jefferson, like so many other people, or they say it, or the farmer who came up and just said, or the people who crossed the Delaware, what they were saying in their minds was something was welling. They didn't even know how to express it. But the idea and the concept and this tipping point, this flame that came through their blood, the Israelite covenant, William Bradford, our founding fathers, was I will be free and damned to anything else. Whether you're king, whether you're a redcoat, whether you're a government, you don't have authority. You are illegitimate. Happiness for Locke is the end result of men pursuing their self-interest. What is the greatest good? The greatest good is the pursuit of our self-interest. What is our self-interest? That we pursue the laws of nature, the immutable truths of nature, and our supreme being, our creator. These are coming from men who you wouldn't say necessarily, quote unquote, they're not religious. I don't know. They're quoting Greek mythology. These people are I don't know about these people, you know, in terms of modern churches or whatever, what they're saying about this. They were so much further educated than we were and so much intellectually developed than we were. We are stunted now. It's a joke. Happiness for Locke is the end result of men pursuing their self-interest, rightly understood, which in turn is the foundation of liberty. So the political discussion then becomes the Declaration of Independence, this liberty granted and endowed and sealed with the breath of life itself is in contrast to the government, which says we will control the greater good. We know what's best for you. This is no less than a choice between the gospel of Jesus Christ or the gospel of Lucifer himself. That the founders also knew that there was pain, that there could be trouble, that there could be upset, that there could be tragedies that occur in that freedom. Lucifer said, I want to take all that pain away. Why do we have to come through all this pain? Why do we have to go through this world and fall and make all these choices and then just to return to you? That's cruel. That's mean. That's servile. And what God says, I gave you have liberty. You can choose. Lucifer says, I'll take all the choice away and you won't have to deal with this pain. And you can never ascend. Do you see? Ascend to what? To bow that liberty, the liberty God gave you, the virtue God gave you, succumb it and bow it to Lucifer and then worship Lucifer that he knows best. What is socialism? What is all these governments? What is China right now with these Uyghurs in the concentration camps? Oh, I'm sorry, job training centers. My bad. You see what that is? It's sin. When I'm sitting there in jail, I'm on hold. I'm on a general warrant. Why do you think the Bill of Rights is so important? The Bill of Rights, the founders would not even approve the Constitution. Is there flaws with the Constitution? Absolutely. Is there problems? There is no problems with what is delineated in the Bill of Rights. Because why? It is a war of self-identity. And there's a quote, and there's no way I'll be able to find it now in the time we have. But there's a quote where Adams talks about identity and self-identity. What are you going to identify as? Are you a subject? Are you a slave? Are you a child of God? Are you a free agent? Do you have virtue? Do you have liberty? Do you have choices? Do you respect the virtue and choices of other people? And people say, well, if people can choose whatever, then they're going to run over everybody and create chaos. Well, that's what Lucifer says. This is just going to lead to chaos. This is going to lead to disaster. This is going to lead to you see? Well, that's what law is supposed to do in America. It's supposed to protect virtue so that when people commit crimes, real crimes, not traveling on the road, when people commit real crimes, then the law comes down very difficult. So there's a very famous scripture in the Bible. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The next part of that scripture is, because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. Our children are beginning to be forgotten in this country. Why? Because we have forgotten the law. What is the law? What law are they talking about? Is it not the same law that our founding fathers are pounding people about the law of nature, and nature's God, and the law of virtue, and the law of morality, and the law of self-interest, and the law of the pursuit of happiness? Around the world, in the name of the United States, in our good name, by everything that we do, the corporate takeover of our republic, we give life to this now because we're acquiescent, because we're stupid, we're ignorant as a nation. We have done murder. We have ruined countries. We have destroyed families. We have wreaked havoc all over the world when at one point we were a shining light. And people all say, and they're, you know, the good point is, how can we ever make this right? How can we ever reconcile this? How can we, are we to go to every country and apologize to them, whatever? There is only one way that we can pay for our sins. There's only one way, and I promise you, all the world instinctually wants this, is that we can lift off, throw off the monkish ignorance, superstition, tradition, and the tyranny that is trying to envelop us, and uphold to the laws of nature and the laws of our God. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the governments are instituted among men to protect these rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. That is the Declaration of Independence. That is Scripture. We got about 10 minutes about. In either case, the contest between Great Britain and America concerned the twin principles of consent and representation. It was a fundamental principle of the British Constitution extending back to the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta then extending back to the Mosaic Law. No laws have any validity or binding force without the consent and approbation of the people given in the person of their representatives periodically elected by themselves. Self-government. What we have seen, this idea of admiralty law, there's one more quote I'm going to read before I get to the story about Culpeper, Virginia. Okay, I think it's here. I got books everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry about this. Okay, this is John Adams. And this is what he was saying about the Stamp Act. And that they couldn't, you know, operate like they wanted to. There seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. Okay, can't you say that today? Can you not say that today? Where are the voices? Where are the minds? Where are the people? Where is the other radio hosts that are going to join with me and proclaim this idea? Because right now we're in the idea phase. We're in the brush fire starting phase. That's why what Chris is doing. Chris, thank you. We're going to see what we can accomplish here. That's why I begged you to put the Bill of Rights on your refrigerator. Here's his other quote. The alarming extension of the power of courts of admiralty. In these courts, one judge presides alone. No juries have any concern there. The law and the fact are both to be decided by the same single judge whose commission is only doing pleasure, or only during pleasure, and with whom we are told the most mischievous of all customs has become established. You have heard repeatedly, Clive and Bundy, and this is happening all over the country, Clive and Bundy, when he was in court, he read the Constitution, read from the Bill of Rights, about his God-given position. And what did the judge tell him? The judge told him that if you read that again, I will arrest you and throw you in jail. These are admiralty courts. What is the big... This is not our system. This is not who we are. We have allowed ourselves, because of our ignorance and our rejection of the law and our laying down of the law, to succumb to this type of law, this admiralty law. It's a different system. Where we're ruled over. On the way to a very important meeting, Patrick Henry stopped in Culpeper, Virginia. They were going to meet in secret, I think in Richmond. and discussed the future of what was going to go on. This is right before the shot heard around the world. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, the breeze, the April's flag unfurled. There, once in battle, farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. Right before that, Patrick Henry saw a man being whipped to death in the town square. He asked, the person was given a choice to relent. He did not relent. He went to jail that night. He came back the next morning, given the choice again to relent, to just do what they wanted. Just do what they want. Doesn't this sound like the cops? Just do what I want. Just sign this ticket. Just do what I want. Just get a license. Just what, da, da, da. Doesn't it sound like the same thing? Just succumb to us, but make us your master, make us your God. We will order things. We know the greater good. We know better than you. You don't have the right of self-rule. Who are you? You are a subject. You are a slave. You are a citizen that we are to control. We are here to help and bring safety to everybody. That is our purpose. Patrick Henry asked, what is this man's sin? What is this man's crime? He was one of 12 preachers in the area that refused to get a license to preach. He said, if God had called me to preach, I do not need a license from man. I will not take your license. In 1740s, Britain let George Whitefield preach to 10 or 15,000 people. They didn't see the danger. In 1775, they intimately understood the danger that these preachers and the idea and the connection to God that was becoming for them. This preacher, this man, this unnamed preacher stood there and they whipped him. His ribs were exposed. The blood was everywhere. It alluded to the Savior being scourged before the crucifixion. And they gave him one last chance to relent. All you have to do, this will stop if you take this license. We will let you go. You just take our license. You just take our authority. You just let us rule over you and decide for you. He said, if God has called me to preach, I need no permission of man. And they whipped him to death. And Patrick Henry saw this. And a few days later, he was in the meeting where people are discussing the future. I'll read a little bit from his, the greatest speech ever in American history. One of the greatest speeches ever. Maybe the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that comes to mind, maybe better, but outside of things like that, this is the greatest speech and the most impactful ever given in recorded history. This is no time for ceremony, he says. The question before the House is one of awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery. Now, again, what does freedom and slavery mean? The laws of nature, nature's God, virtue and liberty and morality. That is freedom. What is slavery? The opposite. That virtue and reason can be manipulated because the liberty is controlled. Or the liberty is controlled because the virtue and morality is manipulated. Why do you think I've been talking about these schools? What are the schools doing? The schools manipulate the virtue and morality. The government manipulates the liberty. And what is the middle of it? Tyranny. What is the result of it? Tyranny. What is the end result of all this? Destruction. Poverty. Everything we don't want. And in proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. It is only in this way. Why? Freedom of the debate. The thoughts, the ideas. They wanted to, that's why First Amendment, the ability to speak, the ability of these ideas, they can go out there. You can listen to any idea. You can have anybody. You can talk about anything. The First Amendment. That's why the censorship on YouTube. This is being controlled. Why do you think this is just like the preacher getting the license in 1775? They understand the power of your speech. They understand what YouTube did. They're like, whoa, we got to rein this in. For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. I have but one lamp which my feet are guided, and it is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future, but by the past. But why do you think they teach history or don't teach history? And he goes on, some people say we are weak. They tell us, sir, we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be next week or the next year? And I ask you, in your life, this starts with you personally, individually, your conviction. Then it goes to your family, that you teach them this, that you operate this the best you can. Those things you can control really good. Then you can spread this message and this idea and this concept. We're going to make this these CDs and probably get them out there so people can send them. Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? God damn the person who wants to call for our guns. And I don't mean that in a cuss word. I mean, God damn them. Damn them. Damn them to hell who calls for our guns and wants to disarm us. God damn them to hell who calls to take our guns. Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance? It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Turn that down, please, Todd. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. There is no peace and reconciliation with this. Don't you get it, ladies and gentlemen? The war is actually begun. The war is here and it's been here since the beginning. The choice of tyranny, say, Luciferianism or liberty. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.